Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here with us today on this very special Sunday for our church. We welcome Concordia University, Nebraska students and members of the Wind Symphony. Beautiful concert last night at Ortega Middle School, if you were able to catch that. We really, really were impressed. Very impressed. And blessed to have you all here with us this morning as well. The Lord is with us according to his promise. If you're tuned in on the radio to our service this morning, thanks for tuning in. We wish you the Lord's blessings, and we hope you enjoy this morning as well, the service that we have for you. We do have the blessing this morning of hearing the Lord's promises. He makes us great promises in His Word. And those are the promises that we cling to in joy and in trouble are His blessed promises to us. So we invite the congregation to stand at this time, if you're able, as we begin our service with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of our sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We invite you to join us now in our responsive introit from Psalm 91. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tents.
For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We sing the Gloria Patri. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this, the first Sunday in Lent, comes from Deuteronomy in the 26th chapter. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruits of the ground, which you harvest from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Armenian was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. He brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now, if able, for our reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory. For it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you join us now in confessing our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the life, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We join together now in our hymn of the day. That's hymn 657, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Let's sing. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I bet, living in this world like we all do, there's been no possible way that you've avoided this language, seems to be somewhat new, of self-identifying. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. We live in a self-identifying world now. A world where everyone is seeking identity. It's easier to see this reality in its extreme forms, right? Like gender confusion, identifying as the opposite sex from which you were born. But I came across this other thing that also has to do with this. Who's heard of something called other kin? Other kin. Anybody? Other kin. I hadn't either. But turns out, other kin is a descriptor for when someone is identifying with a non-human entity, which I have to admit I've also heard about, right? But it can get pretty far out there. Things like mythical creatures, fairies people will identify with, dragons, even animals, celestial bodies, stars. The list goes on and on. We're quick to judge that behavior when it's seen in its extreme forms, when it's really obvious. But what if I told you this morning that those extreme forms are just sort of the logical end of something that everybody's doing all the time? Something everyone's engaged in. We can see it clearly when we ask one simple but profound question. Who are you? Really stop and think about that answer for just a second and how quickly we start self-identifying. Most of us in healthy and normal ways. But still, we do it. We build our identity based on comparisons and attachments to the people or things around us. It's how we reason out who we are. And there's healthy ways to do that within the family, within a healthy community, or even among friends. But let me ask you, is that our true identity? The one that we reason out for ourselves. The conclusion that we land upon based upon our current situation and surroundings. The Bible is going to tell us that it's really not our true identity. We know who we are, but we're also something greater according to Scripture. Because we live in this world, it's true, but Scriptures tell us that this world is not our home. We're also citizens, according to the Apostle Paul, of heaven. We're all just pilgrims passing through this life that our hymn commented on when it said that hordes of devils fill this land. We're just passing through in that sense. Jesus told Pontius Pilate before his crucifixion, "My kingdom is not of this world." For this reason and many others, we understand that we live and exist in two kingdoms at the same time during our earthly lives. We're members of the kingdom of the world. We're also simultaneously members of the kingdom of heaven by faith. And as we know, the latter is much, much, much greater than the former. So what does that mean for all of our self-identifying? Well, let's look into Luke chapter 4 this morning at Jesus' time in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. And I think we'll get to see something amazing there. Because if you think about it, if you go back through, as we heard the text read earlier, and listen to the devil's temptations of Jesus while he's out there alone, the devil starts this way. If you are the Son of God. See that? That's identity that he's bringing into question. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Bow down and worship me is the next one. And if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself off of here at the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. He's trying to make Jesus self-identify based on what he does. He's trying to make Jesus understand who he is by what he's doing or by what he can do. But this is where Jesus models for us what it means to truly know who we are in this world and in the kingdom of heaven. Because listen to what Jesus says about this kind of stuff. It's in John's gospel in the 5th chapter, verse 19. Jesus says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." It's amazing to me that in our text this morning, Jesus refuses, at those temptations of Satan, to self-identify. Even though he's God in human flesh, Jesus knows who he is, not by what he can do, turning stones into bread, falling off the temple and not getting hurt, but in a greater way. A way he wants to show you this morning and me. See, to self-identify is literally like Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, to build your house on the sand. Why? Well, if my self-identity is only in my earthly attachments and only in my earthly relationships and only in my career or my success, or my talent, or my skills, or my abilities, what am I going to do if that changes? Those things change all the time, brothers and sisters. What if we lose a relationship? What if we lose a career? Take an athlete, for example. Many an athlete has completely self-identified with the sport that they play. And then something happens. An injury, some change of life, and now this individual is no longer able to compete. And their identity comes crashing down. Same for many vocations. You hear about empty nest syndrome. It can be pretty rough. What about the military? It can be tough too. When that's no longer an option, or law enforcement, it happens in 1,000 other places. But we also do this in relationships, big time. Our relationships can have us self-identifying as her husband or her boyfriend or his wife or his girlfriend or the one who doesn't have any relationship like that. There's something about our sinful nature that has us trying to grab our identity from everything and anything that the world has to offer. Trendy brands, the cars and vehicles that we drive, our hair. The list goes on and on and on. But it's just a ticking time bomb. It's just a ticking time bomb because guess what? The sand's going to shift. Change is going to happen. And then what? Have we lost our identity completely in those moments? That's not what we see happening in the temptation in the wilderness, is it? Not at all. That sand's going to shift. But Jesus knows this. And he knows this about us. And maybe you're realizing something about yourself today in the way that you identify. Or you're sitting here this morning and you're feeling lost because the sand has literally just shifted for you and you're not quite sure what that is anymore. Well, don't run off and try to find another self-identity in the things of the world. Jesus shows us how to identify rightly in our text from Luke this morning. How? Don't self-identify with any created thing at all. God tells you who you are. God gives to us our very identity. Jesus doesn't need to jump through the devil's hoops to know who he is. But what does he do? What does he say when those temptations come? He doesn't base who he is, even though he's the God of all eternity, even on himself as the second person of the Trinity, but instead on the word of his Father. And we heard that word at his baptism, Jesus's. And we heard that word at the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. That's where Jesus' identity comes from. And so when the devil shows up with his garbage, can't even touch him. That same blessing is ours. It's ours. In the sense that God tells us who we are too. And our house can be built on the rock, as Jesus would say. That's what Satan, he quotes during every these temptations, right? He tries to quote the Bible, but he's coming at it all the wrong way. It's the scriptures that deliver to us our true and everlasting identity. And it has nothing to do with us trying to go on a wild goose chase in our lives to discover it. Trust me, that's what's selling right now. Bestsellers, self-help stuff. Here's how you discover who you are, right? Here's how you unravel your identity and realize all these things. Not for us as believers, friends. If you're still not convinced, listen to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, it says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. God told us who we are. We're citizens of heaven, citizens of another land, another kingdom, according to the Apostle Peter. And this is our true and greater identity in Christ. Want to know who you are? Look at the cross. You're one that Christ died for. So am I. You're a beautiful, amazing creation of God. The scriptures tell us that we were created or made male and female, children of God in holy baptism, and that we're brothers and sisters with Christ by his death and resurrection, and that we're joint heirs with Christ in heavenly treasures. See how identifying all of this is? The world has so much garbage to offer you. It's just garbage. It's shifting sand. God's words are eternal. You notice you never go home back to your house in the evening, and when you get there and you notice the concrete poured at the foundation of your house. I don't know anybody who's ever gone home and looked at their foundation and said, you know what, foundation, you're kind of boring. I mean, you never move. You never change. No, that's the whole idea, right? That's its entire purpose. Same is true for what God tells you about you, the way he identifies you, so that our gaze is always fixed on heaven, always fixed on our Lord Jesus, and it never changes. And even more, see, according to the scriptures, even though we know our sin, the scripture's going to go ahead and say that in Christ, you're holy. You're without blemish by faith. You're more than conquerors. You're perfect in the righteousness of Jesus. Apart from him, we're none of these things. But friends, we are not apart from him. For in him we move and live and have our being, as Paul says in Acts 17 to the Athenians. For he has come even this morning to us again in word and sacrament, not asking us to identify ourselves by anything, but telling us exactly who we are. Those who have nothing to fear. Because Jesus told us. He said, in this life you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome this world. We can do nothing of ourselves. We confess this stuff all the time as Lutheran Christians. We can do nothing of ourselves, but only what we see our Lord Jesus doing. For whatever Jesus does, we do likewise. There's who you truly are, and there's who I truly am, and there's the clarity that we so easily miss in the course of this world when we're downtrodden and confused about who we are. Instead, let us listen to our God and what he says instead of wondering based on comparisons in the world. Because this world, it is not our home. We long for a true and heavenly home, which soon, very soon, we will inherit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our offertory. As our offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy some music from our Concordia Wind Symphony. come to our time for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Most High, you are the dwelling place of your people. You give us our identities, and you are our refuge for the sake of Christ, who suffered temptation and death for our redemption. Preserve us from every evil and plague, and strengthen us in faith that we may be satisfied with your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all nations, you make no distinction between Jew and Greek, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Protect and provide for the missionaries of your church as they proclaim the word of faith and bring it near to all who will hear, so that more would confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that you raised him from the dead. And Lord, we especially request this morning that you guard and protect Concordia University's Wind Symphony as they travel about the country. Lord, that you bless them. And Lord, we know you're using them in a mighty way to bring the gospel to hearts and ears that need it through their music and their programs. Lord, bless them and strengthen them. Grant them health and safe travel. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, you bestow your riches on all who call upon you. Bless parents with all wisdom as they teach their children your ways, that in all the household they may confess with their mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, govern the kingdoms of this world according to your holy and gracious will. Protect authorities from every temptation of the devil who falsely claims sovereignty over them. Equip them to curb what is evil and promote what is good. Lord, in your mercy. God of all mercy, you answer those who call upon you. Hear our prayers for all people in need of healing and restoration. Lord, and especially hear us as we name these folks before you from the altar this morning: Ayla Martinez, Linda and Pastor Lyle Struenberg, Adam and Andrea, Joyce Austin, Sandy Cody, Jim Schrader, Dick Greitz, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinbarger, Susan St. Cyr, the family of Gary and Joette Heiser, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, be with them in their trouble and rescue them according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. O Lord, everyone who believes that Jesus is Lord will not be put to shame. Unite your people in a right confession of your word and free them from disagreement over your truth. Bring us with penitent hearts to receive the great riches of your Son's body and blood. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, as you brought your people to the promised land and gave them an inheritance of abundance, so you give us all that we have. Preserve us from greed and grant us thankful hearts to declare your goodness and gladly support what you will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, see how the adversary continually afflicts us and walks about us as a roaring lion, seeking to devour us, seeking to confuse us. But we implore you, for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy would not prevail over us, but instead that we may abide evermore in your grace and be preserved to life everlasting. through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings on your week. And if you're gathered with us in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn over to page 9 in your bulletin and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. For reception this morning, we will come down the center aisle in a line and receive the sacrament right here in front of the altar. The Lord be with you.
Spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary. We should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
News. I'm Dave Pack. To avoid a potential government shutdown, President Trump urging Republican lawmakers to vote for Speaker Johnson's latest short-term spending bill. ABC's Alex Brochet is in Washington.
The 99-page bill adds $6 billion for veteran health care. It increases money for